This is the sermon preached in Athens on the sixth Sunday of Trinity, July the 11th, 2021. The main reading for the sermon is Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14. Last Sunday we read from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth, just up the road from Athens. This morning we have travelled northeast to the capital of the Roman province of Asia, Ephesus. The two cities, in fact, are connected, as it's known that Paul wrote to the Corinthians from Ephesus. Ephesus was not only the centre of Roman administration of the province, it was also home to one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the temple of the goddess Artemis, who was worshipped by a cult of wealthy noble women who were her priestesses and acolytes. While in Ephesus, St. Paul caused a great stir among the silversmith workers, headed up by one Demetrius. He gathered his fellow craftsmen together, and the artisans and sellers of the little silver replicas of the temple, and no doubt silver images of the goddess, maybe for earrings or brooches, bracelets and fascinators. The accusation is that Paul has been preaching against the main source of their trade and livelihood, maintaining that gods made with hands are not gods at all. See Acts chapter 19. Demetrius was concerned that their temple and its cult would be discredited across Asia, but I guess his main concern was really loss of income. So to a man they shout out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," and rush off to the city's great theatre. Like a great wall of football supporters crying out for their team, the crowds are screaming out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Paul is advised not to venture there. It's up to one Alexander to calm the crowd and point out that if Demetrius has a complaint to make, then the courts are open. But if they continue as they are, they're all in danger of being accused of rioting, something the Roman authorities will not countenance. Paul leaves the city. It's probably when he has been imprisoned in Rome that Paul corresponds with the Ephesian Christians, though it's thought that this might have been a general letter for all the churches in this part of Asia. After the initial greeting to his letter, we are presented with the most extraordinary piece of majestic theology. It's the passage you heard this morning, and you can read again at home through the week. Few passages in Scripture can match the royal progress of Paul's thinking. If ever we need to be encouraged, perhaps it is now, after these long months of COVID lockdown, restrictions, face coverings, loss of liberty, sickness, depressing statistics, fear of the virus, fear of the vaccine, fear of other people, of going outside, frustration about church life and liturgy cut back and trimmed to conform to weekly government gazettes. By antithesis, here are just a few of the expressions and words that we find in these 11 verses of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Blessed be God, who has blessed us in Christ, spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, chose us in Christ, adoption as his children, good pleasure of his will, glorious grace freely bestowed on us in the beloved, redemption, forgiveness, riches of grace lavished upon us, good pleasure, inheritance, hope. How much more of this could St. Paul have crammed into this purple passage of praise? And how much more could we take in? It's a feast of the sheer joy of our faith in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a celebration of all that God does for us. It is sheer abandonment of the shackles that imprison us so easily as human beings, profligacy in showering us with every blessing imaginable. God is prodigal in his love shown towards us in Christ, sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Paul writes these glorious words that reveal his understanding of God in Christ, he would still have had in his mind's eye how life and the city were dominated by the Artemisia, the cultic worship of the goddess Artemis, and no doubt that silversmith, Demetrius, and his little factory that produced souvenirs for pilgrims and tourists and neophytes. He contrasts the living God with the gods of the temples, and no doubt in his mind would be the words from Psalm 115. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes have they but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses have they but they cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet have they but cannot walk. Not a whisper do they make from their throats. Those who make them shall become like them, and so will all who put their trust in them. To which gods made with human hands do we bow down now in our own lives? What have we set up as our idols? What dictates and motivates us? What are our priorities for life, and who or what dictates this? What divinities made with human hands do we now worship? Whatever it may be, it is great is Artemis of the Ephesians, and it will fail us and not fulfill us. In writing to the Ephesians, Paul is sharing the gospel that God in Christ is life, and that life in all its exuberance and abundance is to be found in him. Today, the 11th of July, is the feast of St. Benedict in the Western calendar. So today I'm praying for my friends, the abbot and the community of St. Andries in Bruges in Belgium, one of the many hundreds of monastic houses who follow the rule of St. Benedict. In the prologue of his rule, Holy Benedict says this: "Which is the one who wants life and desires to see good days? If on hearing this you reply, 'It is I,' God says to you, 'If you want to have true and eternal life, keep your tongue from evil and let your lips speak no deceit. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And when you have done these things, my eyes will be on you and my ears open to your prayers. And even before you call on me, I will say to you, here I am.'" We find today good news. Good news gloriously delivered to us by the message of St. Paul. Good news as understood by St. Benedict. Good news from the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. To him be all might and majesty, dominion, praise and glory, now and forever. Amen.